Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I trust that this message will help all of us to learn from the life of one who was faithful, and that we might apply those principles to our own lives in the days ahead. Acts 20:17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, and saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I'd like you to read with me, if you would, in verse number 24, and find verse 24, and let's read that verse together. Ready? Begin. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us in this message to learn how to finish our course with joy. So many Christians have gone AWOL. So many churches have changed their message or even closed. Father, help us to be faithful as we strive together with the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I thank the Lord this morning that He is a God that does not change. We read in the Word of God in Malachi 3 and verse 6, For I am the Lord, I change not. And we thank God for His immutability, for His unchanging nature. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us, Great is thy faithfulness. And we're thankful today that His mercies are new every morning and that we're able to trust in our God and in His faithfulness. But while God is faithful, so many times Christians are unfaithful. And the songwriter said, Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And how many of you would be honest enough to say that we need God's strength and God's Spirit to help us to be faithful in the Christian life? And that's why the phrase in verse 24 jumps out at me every time I read the book of Acts. And I want you to look at it again, because Paul the Apostle says, But none of these things move me. He says, I've had some problems in the past. I'll probably have some more problems when I go to Jerusalem. But none of these things move me. In other words, here was a man who had made his decision, I'm going to be faithful to my God no matter what. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're going to finish your race faithfully, it's because you're going to make a decision like Paul the Apostle to say, I'm not going to let anything move me or deter me from being faithful to my Lord. And that's the challenge that we have in the text before us this morning, being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now a little background to Acts chapter 20. In this particular chapter of the Bible, the Apostle Paul was on his third missionary journey. His first missionary journey began in Acts 13. He was sent out by the church at Antioch, and he went from city to city preaching the gospel, always with persecution and always with fruit. And that's really the equation. There's going to be trials, but when we sow the seed of the Word of God, there will be fruit. Here on the third missionary journey, he had been to Ephesus. And now the Bible told us in verse 17 that he was in this little place called Miletus. And while we see the map, also look in your Bible at verse 17, and you'll notice it says, From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, Paul was traveling. He was heading back, as we'll see in a moment. He was bound in his spirit to get to Jerusalem. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. He felt like God had called him to Jerusalem. But he wanted to take a little more time in Miletus to meet with the elders or the pastors or the leaders from Ephesus. And he called them together there for a meeting. Now, Ephesus had been a great ministry for the Apostle Paul. But one of the things we learn from him, he always was confirming and reconfirming and reestablishing people in their faith. We call it today discipleship. That's why we have our adult Bible classes. That's why we disciple new believers, so that things won't unravel, but we'll get a foundation. We'll be rooted and grounded in Christ. And so once again, he says, I want to meet with the leaders from Ephesus to give you some instructions before I go down to Jerusalem. And Ephesus was an amazing ministry for Paul. I had the privilege of visiting Ephesus in modern-day Turkey not long ago and several months ago. And in Ephesus, there were many houses that were on the outskirts of town, maybe a little less in the sense of more of a poverty-stricken area. But in the middle of the area, you'll see houses like this with beautiful coverings on the walls and tile and tapestry of all different forms, even during the Greek and Roman empires, running water and some of the modern conveniences for that day. And Paul had gone publicly and from house to house in this city, and he had gone from place to place telling people about Jesus Christ. The Celsus Library, one of the wonders of the world at that time, was a marvel in Ephesus and spoke of their tremendous educational advancements. And then, of course, on the next slide, you see the remains of the temple to the goddess Diana. And that reminds us of the paganism there at Ephesus. And there were many different false teachers. They had the goddess goddess Nike and Zeus. And here was the temple to the goddess Diana. A lot of times there were wicked, immoral acts performed around these pagan god houses. This was the forum going down the road there, the Roman road, first the Greek road, then the Roman Empire, and stores would be along this road and many wares would be sold. And Paul had gone to Ephesus publicly and from house to house preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now he's getting ready to leave the region. And so he gathers these leaders together and he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. He says, now I don't know what's going to happen to me there, but I know this, nothing that could happen to me there is going to turn me from living for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been saved more than a week, you've probably had some trials in your life. Maybe you've had some friends make fun of you because you go to church, because you don't party. Maybe you've had some different difficulties in your life. And it's a good thing sometimes to just say, you know what? I'm not going to forsake Jesus. I'm going to keep living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to move me from serving Him. And I just want to take a few moments with you today and just ask this simple question. Why was Paul so faithful? And how can we be faithful today? What is it that kept him moving along in the Christian life? Because the devil's going to try to push us out of serving the Lord and get us away from loving God. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Now, how could he say that? And why did he finish his race for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's notice some characteristics of his life. First of all, I want you to see, this man was a man bound in his spirit by compassion for others. He was bound by compassion. Now, in the Bible, we see this phrase, and I want you to see in verse 22 what he says. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Now, the word bound in the Spirit references a strong leading of the Spirit, a strong desire from God. In other words, he wasn't doing this for himself. He wasn't doing it for mom and dad. But in his heart, he was bound to serve the Lord. The word bound is here given to us in the passive voice. It indicates Paul did not bind himself. He was bound of another. He was bound by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, friend, if you've been saved, that is, if you've been born again by the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is in your life. You possess the Holy Spirit. The question of the Christian life, however, is this. Does the Holy Spirit possess you? Does he have you? Does he lead you and direct you in your life? And if he's leading your life And if you're relying upon His power, then the chances and the opportunities for you to advance and finish well are much greater, because it's not of your strength, it's not of your power, but as Zechariah said, it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Paul was bound by the Spirit to have this compassion. He had compassion to witness to people in places like Ephesus, places that were pagan and dark. Now we might say, boy, that's good, because pagan places need the Lord. And places like, you know, China and places like Afghanistan, they need the Lord. Let me tell you something, America needs the Lord today. We live in a generation where children today know more about Harry Potter than they do the Ten Commandments. We have our president having a rap group to the White House. Young people today know more about the sexual lyrics of rap music than they do about Jesus, James, John, or any of the apostles. And we need some men and women who will go bound in their spirit to tell others compassionately, Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you, and the Word of God will be your lamp. So Paul was bound by the Spirit to go on this journey. But notice, secondly, he was burdened as well. He had a great burden. And the burden in verse 24 was to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. This man wanted to tell others about the death, burial, and resurrection. As we approach our 25th anniversary here at Lancaster Baptist Church, I remember those early days as we preached sometimes to 7 or 8 people and getting started in the ministry here. And the passion then and the passion today is the same, and that is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. When you have a burden for others to be saved, it's a far, far more noble way to live than simply living for ourselves. That's the burden that Jesus had. In Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. How about you, my friend? Is there someone, are there some people in your life that you're burdened for today? Perhaps your children, perhaps a neighbor, people that don't know the Lord, and yet Paul was bound with compassion and burdened with compassion for them. In Acts 18 and verse 5, the Bible says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now I found this, when something is on your heart in the form of a burden or an excitement, you're going to tell other people about it. When the Lakers lost 4 in a row, it just moved some men that I know into a deep depression. And my youngest son, Matt, I mean, he's in mourning, I'm telling you what. And I called him up afterwards, hey, Matt, how you doing? Not good, Dad, not good. And he wanted to talk about it. It was on his heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, a man does what? He speaks. But you know, when Jesus is on your heart, you want to tell others about Jesus Christ. And when you really believe that He is the Son of God who died for the sins of the world, you want other people to know that. Now, how do we know that Paul was real? Not some shyster, not some televangelist just after a buck. How do we know that Paul really was operating based upon a burden from God? Well, look at verse 20 again. What does it say? And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, he said, I had a passion to get this truth to everybody at Ephesus, and I wanted others to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, whether it's going door to door, or whether it's talking to friends at lunch, at work, or talking to your relatives, telling others about Jesus, in my opinion, is one of the reasons that God has left air in my lungs. It's one of the reasons we're here, so that others can know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I heard about 2 young men that were out knocking on some doors, and they knocked on a lady's door. Her name was Vicky, and they said, hi, we're here from the church, such and so church. We're here to tell people about the Lord, and we have some things for you, and so forth. And they were passing out the gospel message. And the lady was so ticked off. You know, she's tired of these religious people coming by. And she gave them a few choice words. She said, I don't want your religion. I'm tired of you guys knocking on my door. And she slammed the door on the young men. And when she did, the door just kind of bounced back. Well, that made her even madder. And so she again said some stuff, and then she slammed the door, and it bounced back again. She was just sure that one of those little fellows was putting his foot right in her door, you know. So she reared back again. She slammed the door. It bounced back again. Before she could slam it again, one of the young men peeked back in. He said, "Ma'am, before you do that again, you might want to move your cat." Now, the fact is that some of you guys that are not cat lovers, you just love that story a little too much, I could tell. But anyways, the fact of the matter was that that Vicky didn't want to hear it. You know, sometimes you meet people like that. I've met people like that. I've met people that have, you know, cussed me out, or they're not too happy to talk about the Lord. But I've got to tell you, there's still something in me that believes that this life is but a vapor, and that everybody needs to know the Lord. And you see, that was what really bound the apostle. He with his heart and soul, wanted others to know Jesus Christ was the living God. And so he was bound by compassion, and that kept him going. It was of the Holy Spirit that he kept on going. But notice, secondly, he was bold in his time of tribulation. Now, tribulation comes to those that are faithful to God. If you haven't had some trials, no doubt there will come some into your life. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 4, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And every faith is going to be tested. In fact, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. There's going to come testings and trials in our life. But notice in verse 22 again what the Bible says. "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." Notice this phrase. "Not knowing the things that shall befall me there." He says, I know there's going to be some trouble. I don't know what. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going. I'm going to go. I know some tribulations and some trials are going to come my way. Now, think about the trials of the Apostle Paul that he experienced. I don't know if these verses are in your notes. If they're not, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, or look in your outline if they're there. 2 Corinthians 11, 24. And listen to what Paul says about his trials. Now just listen to this testimony. He says, "Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save once." So five different times he was beaten with 39 stripes across his back with the cat of nine tails for preaching Jesus. "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, how many of you would agree Paul the Apostle can lecture us a little bit on tribulations? I mean, the man had been beaten time and again just for being a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. And sometimes in life, we have trials and we have tribulations, and it's during those times that it's a good thing that we've made this decision. None of these things will move me. I will be faithful to my Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have heard of a man by the name of James Cash Penny, better known as J.C. Penny. J.C. Penny was born into a long line of Baptist preachers, and he did not choose the ministry. He chose to go into business, and as he went into business, he was a man known for tremendous convictions. He was unwaveringly honest. He was a tremendously hard worker. But in 1929, when the Great Depression came to America, J.C. Penny had made some business deals that went south, and J.C. Penny was unable to meet those obligations, and he began to go through a time of tremendous worry and concern, and felt great burdens in his life. Because of those burdens, he was unable to sleep. And many times he would go to bed but never actually sleep. And he developed difficulties, and in fact was in the hospital on one occasion with shingles, and on other occasions with anxiety and difficulty with sleep and relaxation. Tranquilizers didn't seem to help him. His mental state deteriorated until he later said, "I was broken nervously and physically, filled with despair, unable to see even a ray of hope. I had nothing to live for. I felt as though I had no friend in the world and that even my family was against me." One night in the hospital, J.C. Penney was so oppressed, he did not think he would live through the night. He felt surely his heart would burst before he woke up the next morning. He sat down at the edge of the bed and he wrote a letter to his wife and his children and letting them know of his farewell. But somehow he did manage through the night. The next morning, he heard from the little chapel at the hospital down the way a song being sung. The song had words that went like this: "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you." J.C. Penney moved to the edge of the bed and hobbled off that bed and went in towards the chapel, listening to those words, "God will take care of you." He heard the prayers that were made and the message that was given. He said that morning could only be described as a miracle, for he came out of the dungeon of despair and into the light of God's presence. All the worry had left him. From that moment on, J.C. Penney lived his life trusting in the Lord, and he described those 20 minutes in that hospital chapel as the most glorious 20 minutes of his life. When he died at age 95, there were 1,660 stores across America, a testimony not just to his strength, but to the fact that God did take care of him. You see, the fact of the matter is that through the trials of our life, there is a God in heaven who cares for us. And he says, "Casting all your care upon me," because he cares for us. Oh, in the times of trial, God was there. In the times of testing, God was there. Notice, if you would, in your notes there in verse number 23, he says, "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me." Paul said, everywhere I've been, I've had bonds, I've had afflictions, I've had difficult times. And if you intend to live for God on your job, if you intend to stand up for the Lord, there will be times of bonds or afflictions, perhaps in the sense of persecution. And yet, thank God that He is faithful to us. Thank God that He is there all the time for us. I think about missionary Gracia and Martin Burnham, who served in Mindanao in the Philippines. Some of you recall a few years ago how the Muslims captured them, and those involved in militant Islam took them away from their celebration of their anniversary, where they were staying in a seaside bungalow, and took them up into the mountains of Mindanao, where our son-in-law's parents are missionaries as well. And as they were taken captive, they were chained around a tree, and Martin and Gracia were never allowed to leave that tree, not to eat, not to use the restroom. They were chained to the tree. Why? Because of their faith in Jesus Christ and because they were American citizens. And yet they suffered faithfully for the Lord Jesus. Their captives gave them little in the way of dignity or provision, but they gave grace in return. Gracia and Martin were there around that tree day after day, suffering, and yet they suffered faithfully. Sometimes it's embarrassing what we as Christians complain about. "It's too hard where I work. No one's nice to me. Someone was mean to my children. I think I'll quit. I think I'll find another place to live or serve or worship." How we ought to learn today from the lives of the Apostle Paul and others who could teach us what it means to really suffer kindly and faithfully. You know the story as the rescue attempt took place. Martin Burnham found the bullet fire coming into his body, and through the blood he was unable to live. And yet his wife Gracia was rescued that day. Gracia has struggled at times to put it all together in her mind. She's wondered, and she even wrote, "Why did Martin die when everyone was praying he wouldn't? Why did the scripture say to pray and yet God did not deliver my husband?" I do not know the answers to these questions, but what I do know is that God is God and I am not. And the world is a mess because of sin, not because of God. Some awful things may happen to me, but what God does is right. And He makes no mistakes. And He makes good out of bad decisions. You see, if you'll study the Word of God and you'll study the lives of faithful Christians, you'll find that these people have been bold in their time of tribulation. And they have trusted for the grace of God in their time of need. And how we praise Him that grace, that all-sufficient grace, is still available for us today. Well, Paul was bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Paul was a man bold in his tribulation. But notice finally, Here was a man that was burdened to finish. He was burdened to finish for the Lord. Now, there's not a daddy here today who wants written on your tombstone, "He quit." There's not a mother here that wants written on her tombstone, "She was a good Christian until 2011. I know for my children and my grandchildren, I would like them to know that daddy and granddaddy was faithful unto death or until the rapture. He was faithful to Jesus right until the very end. How many of you would say the same with me today? Not just for a while, but all the way faithful for the Lord. Now, how does that happen? How can we finish our lives faithful for the Lord? I want to give you four quick thoughts from this verse today. Just four ways to finish your race. Maybe you've stumbled in the past. Maybe you've had some times where you weren't real proud of how the race was going. And you just kind of made it to church today in spite of no electricity, and you're just glad you got here, right? I know it really hurt me not to have a hairdryer this morning, I'll guarantee you. But we made it, and here we are in church today. But how can we make it to the very end for the Lord? Let me give you four thoughts. First, don't overvalue yourself. Now you say, that's not what the psychologists say. I know that. Don't place a great value on yourself. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Look at verse 24, because what I just said is a textual premise. Now notice what it says, verse 24. But none of these things move me. What does the next phrase say? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Right? Let's say that phrase together. Ready, begin. Neither count I my life. Now, sometimes in this day of self-thought, self-esteem, self-magazine at the check register, sometimes in this day when we're taught, hey, as long as I'm okay, everything's okay. As long as God's taking care of me, I'll go to church. As long as I'm in my comfort zone, then I'll be a good Christian. With this thought, we're probably not going to be faithful, because when the first trials come, we're going to quit and say, well, tried God, but it didn't work. No, you tried God conditionally. God is calling us to love Him and follow Him in the same way that He loves us, and that is unconditionally. Paul said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now, the emphasis today psychologically is on self-esteem, but here's the problem. If I'm going to link my self-fulfillment to my faithfulness to God, it's never going to work, because there are days when life just isn't peaches and cream. But that does not mean that God isn't at work. In fact, it may mean God is doing some of His best work, because some of the greatest lessons I have learned have not been in a revival meeting or a Bible class. They have been in the valleys and the difficult times when I have learned to wait on God and to pray to God and to trust in the promises of God. And Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. So if it's all about you, then you haven't understood the Christian life yet or the sovereignty of God. But in this day of self-esteem, we need to realize it's not about self, it's about Jesus. And sometimes, in order to glorify Jesus, He allows us, ourselves, to go through some difficult times so that we can show the glory and the praise. And as Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. One church bulletin a few years ago had printed, "Low self-esteem support group will meet at 7 o'clock. Please use the back door," all right? That may not have been the message for some of those with low self-esteem. But listen today, we're not here to make you feel worse about yourself. That's not the point of it. But the point of this phrase in the verse is simply to say, if it's all about me and all about you, then we have forgotten the most important ingredient of the Christian life is that I may know Him. It's all about Jesus Christ. So if you're going to finish your race, then make sure your focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous blessing. Paul the Apostle had that focus. He said in Philippians 3:8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ," or that I may know Christ. Look it. He said, if I've got to lose everything to be closer to the Lord, so be it. I want to know the Lord. I want to finish my race for the Lord, and I'm going to not let my self-evaluation of my self-needs hinder me from finishing my race for the Lord. What a tremendous blessing, and what a tremendous testimony. Notice, secondly, if you're going to finish your race, number one, it's not all about you feeling good, right? Number two, we're going to have to recognize we must rely on the Holy Spirit of God. We must rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you know, you can read all the positive thinking books, Power of Positive Thinking, Psycho-Cybernetics, whatever your favorite one is, and they're going to tell you the basic same thing. You're a great guy. Look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you can do anything. You're the next Rambo. Just put on Rambo music. That'll help. Just watch a Rocky movie. You can do anything after that because you are you and you are great. Have any of you ever come to the place of your life where you go, I am not enough in and of myself to make this work out? Because if you haven't got there, you're going to get there. And what you're going to find as a Christian is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the one that's in you, that's the Lord. That's his Spirit. Now, why do we need to rely on the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 22. Remember what he said? Behold, I go bound in the, what does it say? Spirit. Bound in the Spirit. Now, when did Paul first meet the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, he was on the road to where? Help me. Damascus. He's on the road to Damascus. He'd been down there in Jerusalem overseeing the persecution of Christians, right? And he had seen Stephen, who was stoned, and Stephen didn't deny the Lord. And I mean, Stephen was a great Christian man from the church of Jerusalem. So Saul's now on the road to Damascus, and the light from heaven shines on him, and Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the what? Pricks. And the pricks were a picture, like a farmer would prick an animal to make it go in the road. And the pricks that Paul was feeling were in his heart, and they were from the Holy Spirit, and they were telling him, that Stephen, that guy that you saw martyred for the faith, the first Christian martyr, he's got something you don't have, big boy. You might have all of the accolades of this world, but Stephen had something in himself that you didn't have. And he was convicted in his heart that he needed the Lord. And that conviction came from the Holy Spirit. And if anyone here is not saved, the Spirit of God will convict you about your need for Jesus Christ. And he'll tell you, you can't get to heaven on your own, and you can't get to heaven from a church, and you need Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us. Well, the same Spirit that convicted Paul was now leading Paul and showing him where to go. And he was leading him and saying to him, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And he was bound in his spirit. And I just want to simply say, every one of us need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you've been saved, you've been born again by the Spirit, then we must rely on the Spirit's strength. So if I'm going to finish my race, I can't put a greater value on myself than I do on glorifying God. And if I'm going to finish my race, I've got to rely on the Holy Spirit, not myself, because I get tired and I can get discouraged. But you see, though my outward man perisheth, my inward man can be renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. And then thirdly, I've got to place a great value on serving Jesus Christ. I've got to place a great value on serving Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says in verse 24, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now you see, Paul said, my ministry is to testify of the gospel of God. And if you're a Christian, then you have a message, and that message is called the gospel, the good news. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, hey, I'm not living for myself. I'm living for the message of Jesus Christ and the ministry that he has given to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, therefore, having received this ministry by the mercy of God. Paul said when he was saved, he was given a ministry. Now, let me give you a thought, and you can ponder this. But when you were saved, God had a ministry in store for you. It may not be as a pastor, though if it is, praise God. It may not be as a choir director, but every single Christian has a ministry or a purpose for living. God wants to use you to further His message and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Look, you're not an E4 in the Air Force. You are the minister of God. And you're not a general officer in the Air Force. You are the servant of God. And you're not a contractor, a police officer, a pharmaceutical worker, a general contractor, a nurse, or a doctor. You, my friend, are called of God to be a minister for God. Now, what you do for a living, thank God it puts food on the table. But never forget that you have a ministry on this life to serve Jesus and to help your children know Jesus and to help this world know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to finish your race, you better be living for something more than a paycheck. Right? Live for the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So don't overvalue self. Rely on the Spirit. Value the service of Christ. And then fourthly, and this is important, decide to finish your course. Now just make that decision today. None of these things move me. Would you say that? None of these things move me. Nothing's going to move me. Make your decision today. I will finish my course for the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You say, but Pastor, there's some stuff in my life. I wouldn't have written the script this way. I never thought this would happen with my business or my career. I never thought this would happen with my marriage. I never thought this would happen with my children. I wouldn't have written the script this way. And to be honest, folks, I wouldn't have written it that way for you. But I want to tell you something. We'll understand all of that better by and by. For right now, let's just determine we're not going to quit on our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be faithful to Him, you see. And notice, by the way, what he says there. So that I might finish my course. What are those next two words? So that I might finish my course how? Say it. I might finish my course. How? With joy. You ever meet a Baptist that woke up and had lemons for breakfast? How's it going, brother? Fine. You doing all right? Yeah. I'm saved. I always want to say, tell your face about it. Look it. Don't let the devil rob your joy. Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. With joy. Now, here's a man who was faithfully moving on for the Lord, bound by the Spirit. If you're here for mommy or daddy, you're not going to stay. But if you're because the Holy Spirit's got you here, you're doing the right thing. Bound by the Spirit, bold when tribulation comes. He goes, look, I don't know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, but I'm going. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but just keep on going. And then I see it was a man burdened to finish. He wanted to be faithful. And what was it all about? Once again, as we close, look what he says, verse 24, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now here it is, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. And I know what the world says in their tolerance classes, and I understand all the different ways that are out there, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And I would ask you, friend, this morning, are you heading to see the Father? Do you know that if you died today, you would spend eternity in heaven? I think every week for the last 4 weeks, I've prayed with someone back at that door on their way to Afghanistan. And I was asking the same question. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because I can't get you to heaven. We can't pray beads to get you to heaven if you die. Only you can make that choice. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And if you're here today and you've never made that choice, then I encourage you today. I'm testifying to you of the gospel of the grace of God, that there is a God who can save, and His Son Jesus makes it possible. And if you've never trusted Him, we would encourage you to do that even today.
Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, We would count that as a great honor. God bless you.